Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to DOMS Industries Q4 FY 2024 conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Joshi.
Yeah, thanks, Sharanju. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q4 and FY 2024 results conference call of DOMS Industries Limited. We have with us today senior management represented by Mr. Santosh Rasiklal, Managing Director, and Mr. Rahul Shah, Chief Financial Officer. Now I hand over the call to the management for initial comments on the quarterly as well as annual performance, and then we will open the floor for question and answer session. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, team. Good afternoon, everyone. It is our pleasure to welcome all the participants to the earnings call conference for Q4 and financial year ending March 31st, 2024. Joining me on this call is Rahul Shah, our CFO, and the team from Marathon Capital, our investor relations advisor. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the investor presentation and result release that we have uploaded on the exchanges and our company website. We are pleased to report on a year marked by positive achievements and strategic initiatives that have reinforced our growing position in the stationery and art material market. This has been yet another year of consistent performance, and the results are testimony to the growth strategy backed by growing acceptance of the DOMS brand. We have crossed 1,500 crores of operational revenue mark in the fiscal 2024 with further elevation in margins. We endeavor to set the company on course of a sustained high-performance trajectory with a mix of judicious and bold moves. Listing on the exchanges in last financial year was one of the significant milestones for DOMS. We've been very happy with the way capital market investors have welcomed us and truly aim to live up to the best of their expectations. India, with its demographic advantage and on the back of increased focus and emphasis on child education and overall development, has emerged as the most attractive consumption destination and provides a huge growth opportunity to be addressed. We continue to prioritize our growth in the Indian market, focus distribution network, expansion, and customer-centric approach, and are in process of adding new capacities which bodes well for our company in the medium and long term. Commencement of construction to create one of the largest single-unit manufacturing facilities at our 44-acre land in Umbergaon shall pave way for significant capacity additions for the coming years. The Bhoomi Pujan ceremony for the said land was recently held with a zeal to seek divine blessings, and I'm happy to inform that the construction for this capacity expansion is underway in full swing. Further, we have started capacity expansion for our wooden pencil division, which we expect to commercialize by the end of Q4 FY 2025. This, along with our regular CapEx at existing facility, will result into improving manufacturing capacities and put us on the path of sustainable growth. Further, to support our growth strategy, we shall endeavor to continue expanding our differentiated product offerings, which are associated through the growing years of kids, children, and young adults. The company's recent foray into ballpoint pens and scholastic adhesives was a step in this direction, and I'm very pleased to share that we have received positive response from our consumers and trade. This reinforces the company's strength in introducing attractive, superior quality, and value-added products. Further, our recent acquisition of 51% stake in Skido Industries, a school bag manufacturing company, has helped us to enter into exciting back-to-school product segment. This move also complements our existing portfolio and distribution network. We continue to focus on strengthening our connect with our consumers with interactive and focused marketing initiatives. Our launch of the DOMS Art League encourages children to engage in art contests, aligning perfectly with our endeavors to foster a lifelong love for art amongst children. Further, the recent inauguration of our DOMS Painting Studio at Kidzania in Mumbai RCT Mall offers an exciting avenue for children to experience our entire product range and explore their artistic talents in an interactive way. Looking ahead, we are focused on further expanding our product portfolio and exploring new products and categories within the stationery and art material market, as well as products which are complementary. We remain optimistic about the prospects of the company and remain focused to deliver on our growth agenda. We seek to leverage our market position, understanding of consumer preferences and manufacturing expertise to pursue growth opportunities that shall expand our market share and help us in delivering consistent growth. With this, I would like to hand over the call to our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Rahul Shah, for the update on Q4 and FY24 financial overview. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Santosh Bhai. Good afternoon, everyone. Coming to the details of our financial performance highlights for the quarter ended and for the full year financial year ended March 31, 2024, our revenue from operations for Q4 FY24 grew by 20% to 4037.4 million as compared to 3364.8 million in Q4 FY23, 26.8% over the financial year to reach 115,371 million as compared to 12,118 million in FY23. This increase in sales was predominantly on account of increase in volumes coupled with marginal increment in our ASPs. The EBITDA for Q4 FY24 grew by 22.6% to 759.3 million as compared to 619.3 million in Q4 FY23, with a margin expansion of 40 basis points over the same period last year and stood at 18.8% as compared to 18.4% in Q4 FY23. On a full year basis, we saw further elevation in our margin profile, with EBITDA growing by 46.1% to 2,727.3 million as compared to rupees 1,866.6 million in FY23, and a margin expansion by 230 basis points to 17.7% as compared to 15.4% in FY23. This margin expansion was on account of the increase in ASPs, lower material costs resulting from better pricing due to improved payment terms, and fall in raw material prices coupled with efficiencies playing out on account of scale and size of operations. All of this resulted in our PAT for Q4 FY24 to improve further with a growth of 29.6% and achieved a PAT of 469.3 million as compared to 362.1 million in Q4 FY23. PAT margin for Q4 FY24 expanded by 80 basis points to 11.6% as compared to 10.8% in Q4 FY23. PAT for FY24 grew much higher by 55.2% to 1,596.6 million as compared to 1,028.7 million in FY23, with PAT margin expanding by 190 basis points to 10.4% as compared to 8.5% in FY23. The operational front, we continue to focus on expanding our manufacturing capabilities to capitalize on the growth potential and continue gaining market share. Towards this aim, we have spent approximately over 125 crore in capex, excluding WIP, and have recently added about 100,000 square feet of manufacturing floor space in commercial production during the last 6 months, and are on track to add another 100,000 square feet in the current quarter. On the working capital front, Our debtors are typically in the range of 10 to 20 days on account of certain credit to Fila Group, Modern Trade Partners, as well as select credit to some of our old relationships in our general trade segment. Further, in the last financial year, on account of better liquidity, we have reduced our payable cycle. This has also helped us to negotiate better rates with our suppliers, which has resulted in better margins. On account of this, there has been a slight increase in our working capital cycle to around 49 days. With this, I would request Anirudh to open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Percy with IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on a very good set of numbers. Just wanted to understand from you for FY25, what would be a realistic margin number to go with? Because in the past 2-3 quarters, whatever we have guided, we have over-delivered on that. So are you keeping some sort of buffer in your estimates, or what actually is the potential of the business to deliver realistically in terms of margins while at the same time meeting your top line aspirations?
Hi, Percy. Thanks for the question. Percy, like you know, we've always liked to maintain a conservative approach when it comes to guiding for margins. We believe now with the scale and size that we've received, a fair estimate would be between that 16% to 17% range. There has been a change in the product mix where, certain products which are higher on other expenses and lower on material consumption have increased, which has resulted in the consumption margin improving in the current year. But going forward, on a conservative basis, we would like to, continue with a, forecast of about between 16% to 17% in terms of EBITDA margin.
Got it. Secondly, on the school bags business, what kind of ramp-up should we be expecting here? Is it going to be a very gentle, slow burn kind of thing, or do you think that we can expect some material top line out of this in FY25?
Percy, basically this particular school bag, back to school business is something which was missing in Dom's portfolio. I'm sure you must be aware that the acquisition very recently in place, we have already missed this particular back to school season. So for us, the entire year is going to be ramping up ourselves to create a very out of the league product line first, and then offering the same to our consumer in a small back to school, which we'll see prior to Diwali and in between Christmas. So the idea is to test this particular line for now and get ready, for the next year.
Next year, if let's say we talk about the big back to school season, which is let's say March, April next year, as investors and analysts, how do we evaluate this opportunity for you? Can you give some idea in terms of how big is the market, how much is the organized portion, or the other way to do it is what kind of capacities you are putting up and what kind of capacities you will have by, let's say, March, April next year? And if I just assume, let's say, a 70-80% kind of capacity utilization at that point, what kind of sales can it generate?
We ourselves are in process of understanding this particular market to the fullest right now. You are well aware that this particular category is a mix of, you know, unorganized and a little bit of organized, of course. So what we are, what our take right now is we'll be slow enough, you know, to begin with a small manufacturing facility currently. And we would like to take this as a, you know, not very immediate, but at least as a 5-year plan to reach, you know, the expectations of, you know, our own expectations and also the investor expectations. So it's going to be a slow process, but very guided process and a very, you know, a very concrete business, you know, in times to come. Because with our network, you know, in place, where we are a pan-India brand, I'm sure for us to reach, you know, to our trade and consumer is much faster than...
Right. And also, at the time of IPO, there was also some talk of a possibility of entering into some other segments like water bottles or tiffin boxes, or even at some point of time, copier paper. So any kind of thoughts on the timelines as to when you would like to enter these categories, whether it is sort of priority for you or you think that you have enough on your plate with the existing products anyways?
So as I said, you know, as of now, you know, we are trying to understand, you know, the entire back to school line. As per the philosophy and policy of Doms, we don't want to, you know, go to the market with, you know, me too line of products. Whenever we would like to get into, you know, this particular, you know, back to school line, you know, we would want to be, you know, very different and very user friendly. So it's quite early to right now, you know, say, but yes, you know, we are in process of, you know, educating first ourselves in this particular category and then, you know, starting our investment plan. So maybe, you know, in another, you know, waterfalls, you know, we would be able to elaborate, you know, better on this.
And any thoughts on copy or paper?
No, not really.
Okay. I'll come back in the queue, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Mehul Desai with JM Financials. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on great set of numbers. So first question obviously is on scholastic stationery. Obviously, if you could just bifurcate this 9% kind of growth that we have seen in the quarter, if you could give some flavor on the sub-segments within this scholastic stationery. So how is pencil done? If you could then give some flavor on that. And how do you see this scholastic stationery and scholastic art material going forward in FY? These are two large categories for you. How do you see FY25 for these two categories, and what would be the drivers apart from capacity additions?
Hi, Anish here. Have witnessed growth across almost all our product categories. But within the scholastic stationery, we have seen growth in pencils, which was backed by certain capacity additions that we did. Similarly, in mathematical boxes, when we talk about scholastic art material, we saw volume increase, again backed by capacity addition in watercolor pens, in our wax crayons and oil pastel segment, which are the key products in this segment. So overall, like I said, you know, if I have to say, across all products we've seen growth, wherever capacity additions have happened, significant capacity additions, then we've seen higher growth.
Okay. And some idea on how, obviously, how exports have panned out, and understand, I think last quarter also, because of demand weakness in the international market, export growth was relatively lower. So how has that done in 14? How do you see exports both to Fila as well as your own brand going ahead in FY25?
Yeah, so Mehul bhai, you know, as a company, you know, our priority has always been to domestic market.
Sure.
So, and for us, it's a good problem that, you know, we have always been, you know, at a short supply to our existing Indian trade. So, looking at, you know, last for the dynamics, you know, we, the entire year dynamics, if I can say, the domestic demand was like, you know, was enough good for us, and for us it was important to service that in priority. Export, of course, comes with a lot of attraction, but like, you know, with the new capacities adding up, as we have briefed, we'll be able to become more vigilant on servicing our international markets as well. But currently, we are just trying to service our existing, you know, domestic trade. And as far as, you know, business from Fila, for the stationery line, we have, you know, entire, like, you know, we have our open books, you know, like order books, you know, available, you know, to service Fila demand. But again, currently we are giving priority to our domestic particular market.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Hardik Doshi with White Whale Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just following up on the question, you know, on the Scholastic Art Material and office supplies, those were the big two drivers. The biggest one obviously being Scholastic Art Material. So is there anything besides this capacity addition? I mean, have you done anything different that is allowing you to kind of gain market share here? And going forward as well, you know, what is the kind of strategy and outlook out here in terms of market share gain?
So, Hardik, idea remains the same across all products, you know. Like Santosh Bhai mentioned, we always had this good problem of short supplies. And because of this, whenever we've added capacities, we've seen positive traction. And at the same time, the company continues to invest significantly in research and development, product development, and our focus on introducing more products in our existing categories, where we are expanding the depth of our product portfolio, giving better options and new options to our consumers. All of these things are helping us in terms of ensuring that whatever additions that happen in terms of capacity are, you know, well accepted in the market. As a result of this, you know, the growth is being consistent.
Okay. So again, the question I'm adding is besides capacity addition, is there anything different in your go-to-market strategy that is driving the market share gain, or the strategy you follow is consistent, right?
So, our offering of, you know, exceptional product line, you know, something which, you know, Indian consumers, you know, there are too many products, you know, we have launched in past which, you know, Indian consumers never expected. And I'm sure, you know, that is one of the strongest reason why we are getting very quickly accepted. Of course, you know, when it comes to, you know, offering these products, you know, to the market, which are very unique, they are still, you know, affordable. So, because, you know, we have enough backward integration in place, so it's not that, you know, it's very heavy to our consumers. So it's comfortable for consumers, good for trade, and good for us as well. And I'm sure, you know, this particular, phenomena is, you know, working well, you know, and the acceptance is right.
Got it. Going to the Scholastic stationery part, I mean, that was obviously a genesis, and, like, you know, we've been, the exposure to this particular segment reducing, it was 46% same quarter last year, now it's down to 42%, maybe overall the market's not growing as quickly. As you enter into bags and other areas and also expand into, you know, Scholastic Art Material and other segments, how, like, over a 3 to 5 year period, what do you think our percentage of total sales will come from Scholastic stationery?
So, I wouldn't say it is, there has been a reduction in, Scholastic stationery. If you see year on year basis, Scholastic stationery has grown by approximately 21%. Other segments have grown a little higher because there was capacity additions planned for those segments. Like in Scholastic Art, we increased the capacity for crayons, we increased the capacity for sketch pens. And, then you would also see kits and combination packs, growing at about 21%. which takes material from all segments, including the scholastic stationery segment. So it's more a factor of capacity addition rather than a market factor where we are seeing saturation. So today also, if you analyze our finished goods, you'll see our finished goods are still at the minimal, finished good inventory are still at a minimal level. You know, because whatever we are producing across segments, including scholastic stationery segments, there is high demand, continue to be high demand. It's more a factor of capacity addition rather than any slowness or saturation in the market. We are optimistic about this segment where the largest contribution comes from wooden pencils. And therefore, as we mentioned earlier, we have started the process of further enhancement of pencil capacity. And we believe that by Q4 25, that capacity addition should come in commercial production.
Okay, understood. And just, you know, lastly on the export front, while I understand that, you know, you focus on the domestic market and you're short of supply in a lot of areas and adding capacity, export is a potentially a big opportunity, right? Especially given the shift from China to the rest of the world. So, and it's a very large market. Is there any thought of like maybe accelerating CapEx towards like, you know, to try to cater towards that market and grow that now that the opportunity is there?
Accelerating capex, if you would see, you know, we've already spent about 125 crores in the past year. You know, we are going full swing in terms of enhancing our capacity, starting the construction on this 44-acre land. So on the capex front, we are, you know, as aggressive as possible. During the last quarter also, we'd informed that, you know, we started our pen manufacturing unit in commercial production in a record time of 90 days from the time the plant was building was handed over to us. So we are being as aggressive as possible. It's just that the domestic demand and the, you know, demand for Dom's branded products are so high that we would first want to, you know, focus on that. Yes, export and Fila Group exports remain a attractive proposition. And as and when we have significant capacity addition, we justify that demand as well.
Okay, got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Yash with Stallion Assets. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to know, what would be your CapEx number for 25?
Yes, we are planning for a capex of around 210 to 225 million for FY 25. 210 and 225 crores for FY 25. This will be, like you mentioned, for the setting up of the building at the 44-acre facility, as well as for enhancing our capacities for pencil and, you know, the regular modernization and upgradation capex that we continue to do in our existing infrastructure.
Sure, thank you. And any revenue guidance you would like to give?
So as mentioned in our last call also, we would continue to maintain a revenue guidance between 22% to 25% for FY25.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Sneha Talreja with Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on great set of numbers, sir. A couple of questions from my end. Firstly, regarding your pens rollout. We started with five cities. Just want to know the progress. Where are we and what's the kind of growth that we're looking out for in this particular segment? And, you know, from 5 rupees pen, we, of course, we had a launch there. Which are the pieces of pens that we've already launched? That's one. Second question, I'll take it after this.
Yeah, so, thank you. Basically, for us, our important customer has always been, you know, young kids, you know, school-driven
you know, consumption. So this was the reason why we entered into 5 rupee pen and also continued, you know, like further elevated with 10 rupee pen as well. As of now, the thought process is very clear. We want to, you know, we remain within the interest of, you know, this particular TG of Scholastic. And further, once we are mature enough, you know, in this space, we'll, you know, we'll think about, you know, going ahead. But for now, it's more of Scholastic consumption pens only.
Understood. And what about the states? Are we pan-India now or we are planning to be there?
Yes, we have launched Pen India. It's the same, you know, we have a very, you know, good problem, you know, again, we are unable to supply, you know, across, but yes, we've launched now Pen India and the product is getting a very good response from trade as well as from consumers as well.
Understood, sir. So that was great. The second question was regarding, you know, you mentioned about Dom's Painting Studio. Now, if I'm not wrong, this is the first of its kind. So could you explain us the concept and how, what are the kind of benefits that you're seeing from the same?
I'm sure you are from Mumbai.
Yes, I am.
Okay. So there is a mall, a very famous mall, which is RCT Mall. So there we have, there is one kids land, you know, which is Kidzania.
Right.
And like, you know, so there we have open up our Dom's painting studio, where, like, you know, there was a very common question from everyone that, you know, how can we see, you know, Dom's entire range and where. So this is one place we are able to explore, where lots of kids, you know, are always you know, are experiencing, you know, this place. So here a kid can spend good enough time to create, to educate himself, herself, you know, to know the art more, and spend good time, you know, with our products. So the process was very simple, you know, that, you know, kids experience our entire range, you know, in one particular destination.
Understood. But do we look out for more such, you know, stores or studios that you call it, like Pan India? I just wanted to understand that particular thing.
Yes, at least you would try to, you know, put up such, you know, you know, places, you know, such experience zone, you know, in at least metro cities, in at least, you know, tier one cities of India.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thanks, sir, and all the very best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Bharat Seth with Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers.
Sir, sorry, we are hearing you very low. If you can raise the voice a little.
Now, is it clear?
Yeah, very much.
Sir, want to get some sense that we are seeing that some segment of our company is growing fast, some is not growing. And so is it because whether demand is lacking or we are having a constraint on the manufacturing side? And if at all, so how do we really try to resolve that jigsaw puzzle over the next 3-4 years so that all segment which is growing, we can grow much faster than the market?
So Bharat bhai, as I mentioned, you know, the constraint or the growth factor has been the capacity addition. So it is wherever we've added capacity, at that point of time, in those categories, we have grown better. In other categories, because the overall sales have increased, therefore you'll see as a percentage, their capacity addition has not happened, would have been a little lower. But otherwise, it's more of capacity additions. Going forward, like I said, you know, we are focused on increasing our capacities for writing instruments, for adhesives, for pencils, you know, adding more in terms of our marker and highlighter range. So these are the aspects which will drive the growth in the coming year.
Okay. So on coming to this hobby and craft as well as fine arts products, Indian market is growing at a very rapidly pace, as well as there is a lot of import is also happening because the kind of material is not available in India, or maybe price point is so how do we really see that market for our company, and what is our strategy for that market?
So it's a very interesting question, you know. So basically this particular segment, as you rightly said, it's growing at the most fastest speed right now in India. And as a company, you know, we are also not ignoring this space. We are fully concentrating on this space. So you would have, like, you know, the Indian market has already started experiencing our launches of Fine Art, where we've been able to launch around high SKUs until now, and going forward, many more SKUs to be launched in this entire year. Followed with the hobby segment, hobby and craft segment. Here again, we are emphasizing very well on this particular segment as well. So we'll be experiencing a lot of different type of fabric paints and a lot of different type of create, like, you know, experiencing like, you know, pitch, you know, from DOMS being launched very soon. So we are fully focused on this particular segment as well, and we look forward to this as one of the futuristic take for our brand.
So to understand a little more, sir, color on this, I mean, how much this segment is currently contributing to our top line? I believe it's very around less than 2-3%. So how do we see this business over the next 5-year type journey?
Basically, this particular segment, I think should become at least, you know, close to around between 3-5% of the DOMS portfolio, you know, in another 3-5 years.
Okay, great. And so last question on my side. So there has been a announcement by the government, you know, August 23 on this new NCF. So do you think will it have any kind of our impact on our business on the scholastic side?
So historically, since, you know, last few years, we've been seeing that the efforts the government has been taking in terms of, you know, promoting education and the holistic development of the child has resulted in positive demand for stationery products. While there have been a lot of initiatives and different programs by which government has become a large buyer, both at the national level and the state level, they've become large buyers for stationery products. This has also helped in changing, you know, even at the lowest of the grassroots level, the rural market, a shift happening towards pencils and books and colors from what used to be chalk and slate. All of that has bode well for the scholastic stationery segment. So we are excited about the new policy also, and we believe it will further aid in the growth of these products.
So, and last question, sir, how many schools do we cover for marketing of our product or as an influencer on the student?
So, Bharatbhai, since our distribution strategy centers around the general trade segment, where more than 75% of our sales comes from this segment. And we've been very, prudent in terms of, ensuring and protecting this general trade segment to build a very positive and long-lasting relationship with them. And hence, we've never taken any direct orders from educational institutes. Whatever orders or inquiries that we get have always been passed through our channel partners. And we encourage them only to, entertain such requests. So we as a company never do any direct sales to such educational institutes, and that is and that's always routed through our channel partners.
Sorry, sir, my question was that how do we really influence, the school is a major influencer on the children. So how do we really take their help in influencing change? Of course, sales may be generated through the general trade, but how do we really work on that part?
So Bharat bhai, as a company, you know, we've always, like, you know, since our Renlog, we always decided that we'll not influence, you know, schools, you know,
okay,
to buy our products. So we directly, you know, we never approach schools and try to influence them. It's but you know, as schools are, you know, well familiar with the product, we are within their you know, checklist and priority list. But as a company, we have never you know, done any influencing, you know, on schools.
Hello.
Yes, yes, well, right.
Thank you very much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Yash with Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks again for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand that because in Q4 our revenue growth was just a tad bit below our guidance. So is it because we had a lot of capacity constrained and that's why, you know, we were perhaps not able to grow at around 25%? If you can just give us some color on that, is it our plants are running at 100% utilization or you know, how's everything, especially in your art material and stationery segment, which I believe are the largest?
Yes, we grew by almost 8.5%+ in the quarter four compared to quarter three. This has been in line with our expectations also. So, you know, like I said, it's been more wherever, you know, like scholastic arts, scholastic stationery, where capacity additions have come in. For example, writing instruments, which is a part of office supplies, that has also grown as expected. So the numbers have been much in line with what we had expected. There have been no surprises on that end.
Right. So is there any category where you have like almost 100% utilization? For example, or you need to add capacity a lot in the next like couple of quarters?
So we are in the process, like I said, currently in this quarter, our one more additional unit of almost 100,000 square feet for writing instruments is going to, you know, get into commercial production in the current quarter itself. Plus, in our existing infrastructure, what modernization and upgrading capex that we've done that will allow us to improve our capacities in few of our products. And by Q4, we'll have capacity for pencil, wooden pencil, where we are almost close to about 90%+ in terms of utilization. That will also kick in. So these will help us to achieve our target for the current financial year.
Sure. And so any new categories, you know, I know you went to the school bags, but anything else that you have in mind in next year or any new categories that you're looking for to enter?
Yes, we have already identified, you know, certain categories and already launched categories like fine art. There are certain lines, you know, which are like, you know, within hobby and craft. So I think, you know, we would like to emphasize right now, you know, on you know, what we have already, you know, have within the plan and which is substantial, you know, for another couple of years to address. Of course, we are you know, about to launch one very niche category of, you know, a little of, you know, for toddlers, you know, so which is going to be, you know, one of its kind, with a brand, you know, down thoughts.
Sorry, sir, I didn't get that. You're saying a new category for toddlers?
New category for toddlers, yes. You know, so that is with the brand of Dom Thoughts.
Okay. Got it.
So that will again be an exciting, you know, for the kids, you know, who are you know, less than 3 years as well.
I see. Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Ankit Kedia with PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
So our first question is on the regional mix. If I look at, you know, FY23 to 24, broadly the regional mix remains the same. But if I look over the four-year period, you know, in the north and in the east, they are growing at a slower pace compared to how west and south going. Just wanted to know over the next 2 years, how has been the distribution mix which is happening in south and west, and will we continue to see a faster growth in these two geographies?
So, we have historically also you've seen, our sales is very much in line with the population concentration of the country. So, north and west being the more populous regions of a country, there we have higher sales compared to east and south. But in west, I would just like to put in here that there are certain merchant export sales that happen from the company which get categorized into the western region since those customers are based in western region. So the number of west looks a little higher, but if I remove this, then it is a balanced regional mix whereby justifying the population of the region. And hence, I think this mix would continue to remain the way it is, not have a material change.
Sure. Second is, are you seeing a faster growth, in tier 2, tier 3 markets? How is the distribution connected to the grassroots level apart from the promotion activities which we do? And, you know, be it a 3 rupee to 5 rupee pencil as customers upgrade in those geographies as well, from a medium-term perspective, are you starting to look at that as well, or you're seeing more low-hanging fruit, capacity constraints, so, that will take a more longer time?
What we have seen in last couple of years, there has not been, too much, difference between, the thought process of consumers from tier 1, tier 2 or tier 3 cities. For example, we launched a pencil, pack of 125 rupees. And you would be surprised to know that we got, more reception, from tier 2 and tier 3 markets. So, as I always say that, DOMS products are super great, offerings to consumers, but also at a very reasonable, affordable prices. So, every consumer and every consumer at every center, needs a good stationery. So, DOMS has become, the best of its, best, stuff, to buy for a consumer, across, tier 1, tier 2 or tier 3 cities. The traction is same across. We are also, emphasizing ourselves, we are not discriminating, on different fronts. So we are also giving a same, justice to all these particular markets. And the results are already expressed.
And my last question is on the channel mix as well. We are seeing modern trade and quick commerce gain a lot of market share for a lot of other FMCG and consumer brands. Are you under-penetrated in these channels? And do you think from a medium-term perspective, these channels can grow faster than GT and you being more closer to the consumers, or that is not on the plans currently?
So as of now, nothing, no market, no trade is ignorable. But as we have been very strong domestic, GT-driven brand, for us, we are, I would be very fair enough to say that we are more focused on general trade. But we are doing well in modern retail as well. But still, the focus is more on GT. So,
any particular reason why? Because modern trade is only 3% of our sales, which is, compared to the country, modern trade is more mid-teens kind of a contribution, right? So you're under-indexed there.
We have a typical, a good problem, as I said, that, the supply. So, whenever it is, meeting, the demand of the customer, we try to meet, the demand of, those, general trade, in priority. So,
is the reason we are unable to justify right now, you know, our two trade customers. But with the growing capacities and all, you know, we'll be able to justify them as well very soon.
Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Manish Goyal with Thinqwise Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear?
Yeah, Manish bhai, would be better if you could speak a little louder.
Congratulations, Santosh bhai and Rahulji. I have a couple of questions. First, on the capacity expansion, what we are doing, like probably adding 2 lakh square feet and adding capacities for wooden pencils. So, would it meet our 25% growth for FY25, or we'll still have some capacity left for growth in FY26? Just want to know, like, what kind of revenue capacity are we creating at the existing facility? That was question one. And second, on again question related to capacity, like at our greenfield facility, in phase, I believe it will be over phases. So what is the plan for phase one in terms of how much capacity we are creating? What is the capex we are likely to do? When do we expect the phase one to start contributing in terms of revenue? Will it have probably a better asset turn than the existing facility? These were a couple of questions. I'll have a couple of more and come back.
Okay. So, Manish, honestly, capital expenditure or capex capacity addition is a continuous process. What we spoke about, you know, guidance of growth of revenues of between 22 to 25% for the current financial year was basis the capex plan we have in the current year. There is a capex plan for the you know, the year next also. So capacity addition is going to be a continuous process, and that will drive our revenue growth for the next few years in the short to medium term. In terms of the greenfield expansion, to the land area that we have, which is about 44 acres, this, you know, eventually we'll be able to have about 1.8 to 1.9 million square feet of space dedicated for manufacturing activities. This development will happen in a phase-wise manner. In first phase, we will have 600,000 square feet of development in terms of building area. Second phase, another 600,000, and in the third phase, between 600 to 700,000 square feet would come in. So over a three-phase sort of a project, which we believe will conclude by FY27-28. And that's where capacity additions would keep coming in. In terms of putting in the numbers, you know, we would, you know, want to take this, you know, as and when it comes in, because we would, depending upon the market dynamics, the need of the market, we want to keep that flexibility in terms of where and which segment we would like to grow. But in the near term, like we mentioned, the focus is going to be on writing instruments, adhesives, finance, and scholastic pencils predominantly.
Sure, Rahul bhai. So probably when do we expect this phase one of 6 lakh square feet to start?
So I think by first quarter of FY26-27. So by March, April 26, we expect it to start.
Okay. And what would be the capex in the phase one, sir?
So the overall capex, like we put in the prospectus, the overall capex for this project was about 450 crores. That was a phase one. This is about 600,000 square feet that we are talking about. Out of which land, which we'd already purchased, was already done. The remaining was about 380 odd crores, for which would be spent across the next couple of years.
Sure, sir. And last question on, we were probably looking to enter the toys category also. So any plans on that which you would like to share?
So Manish, for us, the toy, the acquisition we did in the toy segment was more to understand the market, understand what sort of product needs to be developed, and to see how these products can complement in our existing distribution network. So we continue to remain in that phase. We are focusing right now in redesigning the product to match the current distribution network of our company with the feedback and the learnings that we are getting. We are slowly, changing the product mix to the requirement. So once this learning phase is over, then, we would be in a better position to answer your question in terms of how do we see the future panning out for this product category.
Sure. Thank you so much and wish you all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Mohammed Patel with Care Portfolio Managers Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have one question. So just wanted to know your thoughts in the industry. How is the back-to-school quarter panning out versus last year? And also, what are your expectations for the industry growth for FY25 versus 24?
So honestly, for us, things are moving as anticipated. We continue to grow every quarter. At a broader industry level, honestly, we do not have any exact numbers because we are present across different sub-segments of the industry. But for our products, for our in the market that we are present, we are seeing good traction, and we believe the momentum would continue. There would be a continuous growth for us, and we'll be able to achieve the targets that we set for ourselves.
The next in line is Bharat Seth with Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the second time opportunities. Sir, is that fair understanding that we need to continuously invest in the capacity to grow our business? That's a fair thing because the opportunity is humongous. So in order to understand, hello?
Yeah, Bharat bhai, go on.
So understand that how this CapEx fund will be able to meet, or do we have to again visit the market or?
So Bharat bhai, partly yes, we will have to in the short to mid term continue to invest in increasing our capacity in terms of meeting the CapEx requirements. We believe with the funds that we've raised from the market currently and going forward, the internal accruals the company will generate, we'll be able to meet our funding requirements, especially to the three phases of this expansion that we spoke about.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. And all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Prathamesh Dhake with Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I'm audible.
Yeah, Prathamesh, bhai. Very much.
Hi, sir. So, writing instruments happens to be one of your future growth drivers. So, wanted to understand how big do you see this business becoming in the next 3 to 4 years in, let's say, value terms?
At the product level, we would not really want to give any sort of a specific guidance. But like Santosh bhai mentioned, that with the initial launch, with the limited number of SKUs, we've seen a good positive response from our trade partners as well as our consumers. And the company has plans to continue to increase its product offering in this segment. A new capacity is also being added. So we believe this would become a key goal driver, but we wouldn't want to comment anything on the specific number with respect to this segment.
Sure. So would you give us some color?
I would also like to add here that we would be fully conscious about our assets and rationals as well. So,
okay. With the existing writing instrument capacities and the ones which are coming live, can you give us how much capacity will we have and what is their revenue potential or something like that?
Currently, our capacity that we have for the overall pen business is about 2 million pens per day. We are currently in the process of having test runs at the new facility where we will be able to add another 1 million pens per day in terms of capacity. We will overall have about 3 million pens per day in terms of capacity. Then, as we mentioned, with the construction now on in full swing at the 44-acre plant, once that buildings are ready, then we'll add more capacity for our writing instrument business.
Okay, sir. Understood. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Priyank Chheda with Vallum Capital. Please go ahead.
My question is on distribution. We are present in 1.25 lakh retailers. How much of the universe is yet unmet or untapped? And within the existing coverage, how are we tracking the throughput to increase? The two parts of the question is, one, how much do we plan to add, which is unmet, and how much depth can we create within the existing distribution channel?
Basically, as of now, as you said, you know, we are catering to around 120,000 plus retail outlets. What is important for DOMS today is to service, you know, the already existing customer to the fullest. So we are not right now, because we have, you know, this problem of supplies, we are not right now adding more retail outlets to our universe. We want to first of all, you know, fully satisfy, you know, the needs of the existing ones. And once we have the new plans, you know, in place, new capacities in place, we'll be adding more outlets going forward.
Perfect. And so what would be the sales contribution coming from the new products that we have developed over last 1 year or 2 years, whatever numbers that you would like to call out for?
Specifically, you know, like I mentioned, at product level, we would not want to give any numbers. But as you can see from our sales mix, you know, Scholastic Stationery has done better than the company growth rate because of capacity additions and higher revenues within the in the segment in crayons and watercolor pens. Office supplies has done better, which has been driven by increasing capacities for pens. So these are the products which have done better. So has mathematical instrument boxes and wooden pencils.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sunny, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, so I'm audible?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. I just want to know that in the last two quarters, your material cost as a percentage of sales has come down about from 61% to 56%. So is it due to a better price realization or a decrease in raw material price or something like that?
Sorry, we couldn't get the first. If you can just ask the question.
Yeah. I just want to know that your gross margin has increased in the last two quarters from the earlier 2 years. So what is the reason behind it, the increase in gross margin?
So the increase in consumption margins have been on account of three factors. One, you know, our ability and to increase the selling prices have resulted in our ASPs increasing a bit, which has been because of increase in selling prices as well as change of product mix. At the same time, there have been certain cost rationalizations that have happened because of better procurement. And lastly, you know, like I said, there have been certain products which we recently enhanced capacities where, you know, material consumption in the overall cost is lower and direct expenses are higher. So, you know, the change of mix at the product level with more sales from product with lower consumption margin but higher direct expenses, that has also resulted in consumption margins improving.
Okay, sir. Okay, I got it. And secondly, can we explain, is there any seasonality factor between the four quarters, or is it even out throughout the year for your entire sales?
So, Saniji, you will see that, you know, Dom's product split, you know, is, you know, in a way that, you know, it has very got very low limitations of, you know, back to school seasonality. So there are major of products which, you know, are used, you know, mainly daily, you know, by kids, you know, in the day-to-day activities. So we don't have, you know, of course, you know, there is a back to school, you know, time, you know, but still, as a company, we have a, if you see, you know, we have a very balanced, you know, quarterly business, you know, happening, you know, at company level.
Okay, so it's more or less similar throughout the year, your entire sales.
Across, yes, yes. There is more demand, you know, there is too much demand, you know, at the time of back to school. But still, you know, the demand is not, you know, always, you know, settleable.
Okay, sir. And so lastly, you were commenting about a new product for the toddlers. Can you throw some more light, or is it confidential as of now?
A little bit, you know, maybe in next, you know, call, you know, can have more discussion on that. You're okay?
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. That's it. Thank you, sir. All the best, sir.
CBN Saniji. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Saurabh Jain with HDFC Life Insurance Company Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I had a question on the previous remark that you made that some of the products for which you have expanded the capacity, for which the consumption margins are higher, but the direct cost is also high. So what do you mean here by the direct cost?
So there are certain products in our, you know, where we manufacture, where in that particular cost sheet of that product, you'll see the consumption of material being lower, but direct cost like electricity, direct labor, that being a little higher, right? So that is why, you know, the consumption margin looks better, but you'll see, you know, a little bit increase in our employee cost also. So we partially offset the margin improvement.
Okay. And my other question is, since you're expanding very fast on this writing instruments category, even in the existing facility and then the new plant you're setting up, and along with that, other categories in the art material segment. So just want to understand from an EBITDA margin perspective, are these categories margin accretive from the current like overall margins, or are they in the same ballpark range?
So, Saurabh, as we'd always mentioned earlier also, the, across almost all our product categories, we work with a very cautious sort of a driven approach, keeping the targeted EBITDA in mind, you know, and that is how the products are priced. So, even for this product segment, this is where we would like to be, and, you know, that's that makes us a little more comfortable as well.
No, I understand that. What I'm asking is that in terms of the expansion that you're doing in the select few product categories, those products have higher margins than your overall average currently, or that can lead to margin expansion in the future, or how is the case? I'm just asking from the similar margins. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Yeah, that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. We have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you everyone for joining over this call. We look forward to talking to you again very soon. Thank you everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.